you're listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. Right now I'm talking with Ross Friedman, a.k.a. Ross the Boss, legendary guitarist. You know him from Manowar. You know him from The Dictator, so many other projects. First off, welcome back to Seattle.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
we're
man.
We're having fun here. We love Seattle.
So when, if we could think back, like, do you remember, like, can you recall when was the first time you visited Seattle or played Seattle?
Sure. I think The Dictator's in the 70s we played here. I don't know the venue we played,
yeah.
But I know we played a lot of times. We played in Seattle, and we played on tour with the Lunatics here.
Oh yeah.
That was a very famous tour.
I can imagine kind of debaucherous kind of.
Oh, forget it.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So, I guess you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything, but what are some of your favorite like Northwest or Seattle musicians of all time?
You know, I got to tell you that Jimi Hendrix.
Oh yeah.
To come, you know, one.
Absolutely.
You know, he's my favorite.
Did you ever get to see him?
Yes, twice.
Really?
When I was younger.
That's
much
awesome,
younger.
Man. Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, of course. I wasn't like a huge fan of the grunge thing, but some of the bands were really amazing.
Oh yeah.
I have to say, in retrospect.
Of course, yeah.
You know, Soundgarden, and I miss the singer a lot. I think he was.
R.I.P. Chris Cornell,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Iconic voice.
Yes. And, you know, of course, Nirvana, you know. So I have a little connection of Nirvana. So Manitoba's Wild Kingdom record was in 1990.
Yeah.
And it was mixed by this fellow, Andy Wallace.
You okay.
Okay. And the next thing he mixed was this record called Nevermind.
Whoever heard of it, right?
I don't know what it was, but you know what? I heard it did pretty well.
Yeah.
This record called Nevermind, and
it sold a few.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's kind of a connection.
Yeah. The connection there, Andy Wallace.
I like that, man. So, you know, now that you're back here, I was looking at all the projects you've been involved in, and even up to last year, you know, not only do you do the Ross the Boss thing, but you're involved in other projects as well. Like, what are you currently active in playing guitar?
Well, the main one is the Ross the Boss band.
Yeah.
You know, we have a new record dropping March 6th in Europe, AFM. We're very pretty big over there.
Hell yeah.
And we have a full month booked with Burning Witches.
That's awesome.
Opening from all female group from Switzerland, Assamville from England. I'm gonna have my bus is gonna be just a nut house.
Oh yeah.
On the road, it's gonna
be awesome.
Yeah,
that's a big label over there in Europe too. Yeah,
Nuclear
AFM,
Blast, yeah. AFM. I'm AFM there. Nuclear Blast.
Yeah.
And Mike LePond and I played on my bass player played on their record. They redid Battle Hymns, and so it's gonna be a great tour. I think it's gonna be the tour one of the best tours of the year in Europe. And it's looking toward this. Lots of excitement for it, you know. And so the Ross the Boss band, and I have another metal band called Death Dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
Death Dealer is coming out in June, July. That's coming out. And then I have my old band, Shaken Street, has been playing with Fabienne Shine, a French group. We're playing. We did 15 shows last year in France. And We got a run at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
In France and Belgium, and the best news actually is the original Dictators are going to have started recording again, but it's without Mr. Manitoba. It's me, myself, Andy Chernoff, Scott Kempner, which is top 10.
Yeah.
And our drummer is Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult.
Dude. That's awesome,
yeah.
Man. It sounds like you have a huge year ahead of you.
Yeah, and it's we're real. I'm really excited to play. I mean, this run is 56 shows.
Yeah,
we just did 70,000 tons of metal.
Oh my God!
And that was crazy. And so, I've been quite busy, you know. And,
yeah.
And playing and to be able to play with my friends, it's an honor. It truly is. And you know. To keep going and playing and actually earning a living at it, it's tremendous.
Well, you stay active, man, and it's cool to see, dude. And you know, I had some questions about Dictators because not only are you like a metal god, but you're also like kind of a punk god in that sense of like the early Dictators. Like, what got you into that scene and got you involved with those bands and like that early NYC punk?
Oh, with the Dictators?
Yeah.
Well, that was the first band I formed.
Yeah.
With Andy Chernoff and the Blue Oyster Cult manager, Sandy Perlman, rest in peace, my brother, discovered us upstate New York.
Yeah.
And brought us down to the city and got us a contract with CBS and released, and then we released in 1975 the first Dictators record.
And you were playing like CBGBs and all that.
Oh, but that was before. That was before like 2 years before CBGBs. You know, there was nowhere else to play.
Yeah.
Except this place called the Coventry. And the Coventry is an interesting spot because the only three New York bands that were signed at the time were the New York Dolls, were the Dictators, and this band called Kiss. So
wow,
the three New York bands that were signed,
yeah.
And there's really nowhere to play. The Coventry, they were, you know, and it's not there anymore, of course. But yeah. But then all of a sudden, CBGB's opened up, 77, yeah. 76, 77. So I would have to say that I played CBGB's 38 times.
Jesus Christ.
And we closed, man. And the Dictators closed it the last weekend.
Man.
The saddest day of my life.
Dude, so you know, after the Dictators and everything, you formed Manowar,
right?
So, how did you make that transition? What made you want to make that transition from like kind of like garage and punk and that in your face style to a more virtuoso
right.
kind of heavy shredding style?
Well, I was always a heavy guitar player, influenced by Cream and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix. When I was, you know, after the Dictators, I was in a band called Shaken Street. So Sandy Perlman had Matt in Shaken Street.
So you had no time off, man.
Well,
you're just
no.
going from...
So the three albums, and then Sandy found Shaken Street in Paris, and then decided to manage them.
Okay.
And I was, and the Dictators took a hiatus, and then Sandy goes, and Fabienne Shine, our singer, goes, Sandy, our guitar player, sold his guitar for heroin, and...
Uh-oh.
We need a guitar player. Sandy, do you know a guitar player? And Sandy goes, well, I know a guitar player.
Rise the boss.
You want this guy in your band. So he calls me up and he goes, they want you here. So next morning I was on a plane to Paris and the audition went for about 5 seconds and I played and then all of a sudden they go, you're in the band. So
and they were based out of France.
Paris, yes.
Okay, wow.
So they were also signed to CBS France. And so... We went to San Francisco. We made the record at the Automat. We went on tour. We played stadiums with Blue Oyster Cult, with Black Sabbath, with all these bands,
that
man.
That was the Dio years of Black Sabbath, right?
Huh?
That was the
Dio years.
Dio years, yep,
yeah, right. So then we find ourselves opening up for Sabbath in England.
That's awesome.
So Ronnie Dio comes up to me. I think we're in Nottingham or something. He comes up to me and goes, Ross... Like the sweetest guy comes up to me and Ronnie Dio, like, it was like the great, I mean, he was so cool. He goes, you know, I love your guitar playing. I love the Dictators. I love New York rock. I love the whole Ramones. I love punk rock and Blondie.
That's
and
cool,
Talking
man.
Heads
That's
and
awesome.
Mink. He knew everything. I go, you know what? I got this guy on my crew. His name is Joey DeMeo. And he goes, you should come. You should meet him. He's here. So I go, okay, Ronnie. I go, yes, sir. And I was like, yes, sir. I mean, you know, when he's the man.
He tells you to do something.
Oh, you know, I took his advice and I went and sought Joey out. He was like wandering around someplace and I go, you know, Ronnie says I should meet you. You play bass like no one else has ever played bass. He goes, yeah, well, I'm a little different. Yeah. So then we got to talking and then I found out that we had similar, you know, likes in music and, you know, we want power metal. We want to make a band that's four guys or three guys that are so powerful. Each guy is a titan, you know. And I was looking to do something bigger and better, you know. Then, you know, I
Absolutely.
Love Shaken Street. Believe me, I love them. But, you know, so we decided that we would make a band. I would go off the road. We would go off the road. And I named my replacement. We had a friend that went into Shaken Street. And so no one was hurt. And we got permission. And so the band that Joey and I formed was called Manowar.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if you know heavy metal history, know what happened with that. So,
yeah.
So then I did the first six records, the first six golden age. That's the golden age of heavy metal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I got to ask, man, because like Manowar fans aren't just casual Manowar fans.
No.
Manowar fans are like, they command a dedicated, diehard Manowar like army.
Yes.
What is it about?
They're the army of the immortals.
There you
the
go.
Song I wrote.
What is about Manowar? What is it about Manowar, in your opinion, that commands such like a diehard attention?
We always knew that forming this band, you were either going to love us or you're going to hate our fucking guts. You know, and the reaction can't. We didn't want a reaction that was in the middle. We didn't want, oh, they're okay. You know, they're okay. There's nothing, you know. No. You either love Manowar or you fucking hate our. Which is good. Yeah. We you know, and we thought that, you know, I would prefer more, you know, a few million more loved us in the United States, but, you know, but Europe has been fantastic. Oh, I mean, the rest of the world has been unbelievably pro-Manowar. And because we reach people's hearts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the music reaches people's hearts, especially my six records. So so that's how it was.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And, you know, so let's just go a little bit further. I mean, even beyond, like, when you were when you started your bands, like, what started you on your musical journey? And I got to ask, like, what was the first record that you bought on your own with your own money?
Sgt. Pepper's.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought it the day it came out. Okay. You know, I think I was 13 years old or something in the Bronx.
So obviously you knew the Beatles.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, we saw them take America by storm that night on the Ed Sullivan show.
Yeah.
And, you know, that also showed me I was playing piano. You know, I was doing very well playing piano.
Okay.
You know, both hands.
Is that something that, like, your parents instilled on you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they found out that their son had an incredibly high musical aptitude.
Yeah.
Like, it was off the fucking charts. The music, they at the music school, they said, you better, this kid is, you know.
Yeah, he's something, man.
Yeah. So, but then I lost my piano teacher, this guy, I loved him. And then for some reason, they gave me a lady and I didn't like her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of lost interest in the piano, which is the stupidest thing I ever did in my life. But then when I was in junior high school, I took a violin.
Sure.
And so,
wow.
I touched the violin, right? And I didn't know anything about it. But then, like, in the orchestra in school, which was a pretty big orchestra, there was like 10 violins. I came in at 10. Then in 2 weeks, I became number one violin.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I became the first violin. In like,
you were first chair.
Yeah. I was like, and then I came to realize that, you know, violin, this instrument, it's not really sexy. And all the guys that are playing guitars are very popular with women.
Oh, yeah.
Because why would I play violin
when you could pick
guitar? Why don't
up?
I play guitar?
Yeah.
I said, you know, because I'm just that's the way I've been all my life. I love women and I love, you know, I like to, you know, I love to get with people. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, and I saw the Rolling Stones and I saw, you know, the Beatles and the women going fucking absolutely berserk for anyone with a guitar. So I said, well, you know, let me, you know, so I started playing guitar. And
what was your first guitar?
I had an acoustic area guitar my grandmother bought me. Said, Grandma, I want to play guitar. She goes, okay, let's go down to the music store.
Yeah.
She walked me down on Gun Hill Road in the Bronx to Palumbo Music. And she's like, I couldn't believe it. She walked. It was like 8 blocks. She walked me. And we bought a guitar. And then I started playing. And then I got so good. And then my parents go, you got to take lessons. I go, why do I have to? Okay. So I took lessons. And then in like 3 weeks, I was better than the guitar teacher. And, you know. So I was like absorbing. I was absorbing music so fast, and styles and everything. So that's how I started playing guitar.
Dude, that's
because
awesome.
I like girls.
Hey, there you go, man. And it's kept you going. And and I mean, here you are today. Like, what are in your opinion? And a lot of people ask, like, the Mount Rushmore of music, like the top four. Like, what if you could? What's your Mount Rushmore of influential guitarists? Like your guitar gods.
B.B. King
is
my lifelong idol. I'm a blues guitar player enthusiast. I mean, I think that B.B. King, Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Eric Clapton, Cream era, John Mayall, Blues Breakers era, you know, those guys in all
nice,
around
dude.
There. You know,
Albert
King.
You're a blues guy, yeah. Do you ever go in that direction of like?
Yeah, I have made blues rock. I have made blues rock albums. I haven't made a vaunted blues record yet, but I'm going to do that.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. Because what B.B. King has shown me is that if you play, it's better to play a couple of notes than to play a million notes.
Yeah,
he showed me to play from my heart and from my soul and, you know, and make it count and fill time, you know. It's like...
Let it breathe.
You know, like David Gilmour, you can tell. Like Tony Iommi, you can tell. Peter Green, you can tell. But there's so many brilliant... Peter Frampton.
Oh, yeah.
Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck. I'm sure there are plenty. Eric Johnson, Buck Dharma, Carlos Santana. There's so many great guitar players. The guys in Savoy Brown, the guys in Fog Hat. So many great guitar players out there back in the day.
Yeah.
That influenced me, you know, not really influenced me. Only a couple influenced me, but... So then I just hype it up times 1,000 with adrenaline, and there you get the metal. You know, I just, you know, it's like,
you know,
I get that anger through, and the anger and passion through my playing, and
it's powerful.
Yeah. So I'm blessed by it. So it keeps me very happy. You know, it's
that's like, awesome, man.
Keeps me healthy and happy. And dude, so thank God.
You got a cool job, man.
Yeah.
You got a cool job.
Yeah. So this year it's like the movement up. It's been great. So like, you know, everything has been getting bigger and better. So as long as people coming and as long as the folks love what I'm doing, I'm right there.
That's awesome. You know? I have another kind of fantastical question. So humor me here. Imagine that you have the ability to go back in time and play for one night with any band during any era.
Oh.
What band are you joining for one night and what era?
It's kind of, that's an agonizing question. I would play with Cream. I would play with Cream in 1968.
Cool.
I would play at their peak when Eric was blasting through Marshalls. I would play then. I would play with The Who at their prime.
Yes.
With Keith Moon.
Yeah.
You know, maybe at Woodstock.
That'd be pretty epic, man.
I would play with Mountain, Leslie West, of course.
Yeah.
I would play with Jimi Hendrix live. Oh, my God.
Be pretty cool, man.
If I could, I would play with The Doors, too.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to play.
Some of these you probably wouldn't remember after all the
No, but...
Things that you'd
I would play
be
with early Blue
night.
Oyster Cult.
That'd be cool.
Doing The Red and the Black with Buck Dharma.
Oh, my God.
My buddy.
Yeah. Dude, be a great... I mean, all those. Just take one of them. All right, so one question we'd like to ask, just a couple more questions here. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Ross, the boss here at El Corazon. He's dropping a new single, and we're going to be playing it right after this interview. So pick a scar on your body, Ross, and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
Okay, so Manowar, when we after the first record, we had this record called Into Glory Ride, and then we signed with Music for Nations England, and we wanted to make a... make a splash, if you can say.
Okay.
So we figured, Joey and I, like, why don't we sign up our record contract in blood?
Oh my God.
Well, why don't we?
So metal.
Doesn't everyone sign their record contracts in blood? So we actually did it. So we had a medic there. And,
oh my God.
But what we didn't have was a sharp knife.
Okay.
We had a blunt knife.
Oh my God.
So I'm like,
it's even more hardcore.
I'm like, come on, get some, you know. Knife doesn't. Jesus Christ!
Yeah, like a butter knife.
Yeah, so I got it. I got it to work on. So I got the scar, but I have the tattoo over it now.
Oh my God, dude, that's brutal. Super metal. That's good though.
But we did sign it with blood.
Nice, yeah, man.
Bunch of knuckleheads, aren't we?
All right, man. Well, what's something that you're excited for in 2020? I mean, you mentioned a couple things, but
well, obviously excited the fact that we're doing this North American tour, 26 shows, which is amazing. You know. I kind of like lost hope for America for a while, but now this whole run has been great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's really good, and it's what really is setting it up for the next one. Because we're doing it without the new record out,
yeah.
So we were hoping it would be out, but
once
the
that
timing,
new record is out, people can sing along.
It's going to be great. Yeah. So, of course, the new record drops and all my other projects, but the Ross the Boss thing is the most important.
Any final words for the Northwest audience, man?
Sure. Thank you coming out and support. Everything has been great, especially Western Canada was fantastic tonight. The whole thing, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning of things to come. So as long as you guys come out and support the metal, and when you come out, and also come out and support the Dictators when we come around, because you know we're coming around.
Hell
so,
yeah,
thank
dude.
You.
Ross, thank you very much, man.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.